This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, today we're celebrating Palm Sunday. Of course, this is the day that Jesus entered Jerusalem while many Jewish people cheered, waved palm branches, which in their culture was kind of like us throwing confetti, and they were shouting, Hosanna! In fact, we sing that word a lot here in church. Hosanna! You've probably sung that word multiple times throughout your lives. Hosanna! But do you know what the word means? Hosanna is a Hebrew word. It means save us. Save us. In fact, when the Jewish people shouted Hosanna, they were actually quoting from a psalm. Psalm 118 to be exact, specifically verse 25 of Psalm 118, which reads, O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. But what kind of salvation did they want? Sadly, they wanted Jesus to be an earthly king. They didn't want to hear his preaching about repentance and the forgiveness of sins. No, they wanted Jesus to destroy the Romans and then to give worthy Jews, like themselves, an earthly kingdom of their own. Sadly, things haven't changed much. Many people today think that God should ignore various sins in their lives. Why? Well, because they're basically good people after all, and they've never really hurt anybody. Sadly, such people are offended when they hear about their need to repent of their sins and trust in Jesus alone for forgiveness. Instead, many today like to think of God as a divine Santa Claus whose salvation consists in giving us our best life now. We Christians can easily be tempted by these same sinful opinions about God and His salvation, because we too are sinners. We too naturally reject God's word. We too long to hear what we want to hear. And that is why we Christians must hear what Jesus is saying to us in our gospel reading for today, so that we can receive Him as the kind of Savior He wants to be for us. Now, today's gospel reading begins with Jesus telling two parables about the kingdom of God. Now, if you're going to understand the point of these two parables, you need to understand what Jesus means by the kingdom of God. When I began this sermon series on the Gospel of Luke over a year ago, I explained to you that the kingdom of God was ultimately about God's Son coming into this world to save His enemies. Isn't that interesting? Normally, when an earthly king enters enemy territory, what does he do? He goes into enemy territory to destroy his enemies. But not Jesus. He's not that kind of king. Jesus came into the world to save his enemies, to save us sinners who have rebelled against him. And how would Jesus save his enemies? He would do this by going to the cross with our sins, and there suffering the damnation that should have been ours. Jesus did this for us so that we might be forgiven and live in God's love forever. That, my friends, is what the kingdom of God is all about. But the people didn't like Jesus preaching about the kingdom of God. They wanted a different kind of kingdom. They wanted Jesus to destroy their enemies and reward them for their good behavior. So, when Jesus tells these two parables about the kingdom of God, he's pointing out the fact that even though the people of that day despised what Jesus was saying about the kingdom of God, even though they thought Jesus preaching about the kingdom of God wouldn't amount to much at all, the fact is, God's kingdom would be successful nevertheless. Jesus compares the kingdom of God to a mustard seed and to yeast. Two very small things, but boy, they can produce huge results. Simply put, even though most of the Jews despised what Jesus was saying about the kingdom of God, even though they thought Jesus preaching about repentance and the forgiveness of sins would not amount to much in this world, Jesus points out that God's kingdom would accomplish God's purpose, the salvation of many sinners. You know, many people today think that preaching about repenting of sins and trusting in Jesus for forgiveness is outdated and even offensive. For example, I recall visiting some people a few years ago who hadn't been to church in years. I was lovingly encouraging them to return. But you know what they said to me? They said, "Pastor, we don't want to come back to church because we know what goes on there. We don't want to hear your preaching about sin and about Jesus being the only way of salvation. Don't you know that people don't care about that stuff in our modern world? That's why churches are closing, Pastor. People don't believe that stuff anymore." How sad. Many people today don't think much about God's kingdom. Many people today don't think much about Jesus' message of repentance and forgiveness. But you know what? Their sinful opinions don't matter one bit. You see, throughout history, the preaching of God's kingdom has had huge and awesome results. Many sinners have been given repentance and faith in Jesus. Many people have received forgiveness of sins and eternal life in God's love. Even though, sadly, many people in America have turned away from Jesus, Africa, once thought of as the great mission field where people were living in darkness, Africa now is probably the most huge Christian continent in the world. Did you know that African churches are sending missionaries here? The kingdom of God has accomplished its purpose in spite of people who think it's worthless. That was the point of Jesus' two parables. Later on, someone asked Jesus this question, "Lord, are only a few people going to be saved?" Notice that Jesus doesn't even answer that question directly. You see, it's ultimately God's business how many people will end up being saved. Rather than worrying about whether other people will be saved, we need to think about ourselves. Are we going to be saved? So Jesus says, "Make every effort to enter the narrow door." Now, what is Jesus talking about? Well, when he talks about entering, he's talking about entering the kingdom of God, receiving repentance and the forgiveness of sins. But what does he mean by entering through the narrow door? Well, Jesus is the narrow door. Jesus is the only way to be saved. Jesus is the only way to be rescued from your many sins and the eternal damnation you deserve. But sadly, many people today don't even think they need to be saved. I was talking a few years ago with a man in town who was an agnostic. I told him about how Christianity in its simplest form is realizing that we are unworthy sinners who need God's salvation through Jesus. And you know what he said? "I don't have any sins that need to be forgiven." Other people think of salvation merely in terms of being rescued from their earthly problems and threats. That's right. Unless the church can help me see how I can have my best life now, I don't want anything to do with it. Still others do believe they need to be saved from their sins, which is better than nothing, but sadly, they trust in their own good works, or they trust in other false gods, instead of trusting in God's one and only Son, and His work for us. My friends, we live in a culture that says there are many gods, and that there are many different paths to salvation. But this is a lie of the devil, my friends. In today's gospel reading, Jesus teaches us that we must enter through the narrow door. We need the salvation that God says we need. Salvation from sin and death and eternity in hell. And the only one who can give us this salvation is God's Son, Jesus, who came into this world to save His enemies. But sadly, even though God had given the Jews His word to be a light to the nations, and even though the Savior of the world came into the world through the Jews, the sad fact is that many of the Jews in Jesus' day rejected their own Savior. In contrast, many other non-Jews would hear the preaching of God's kingdom, and they would believe and be saved. That's what Jesus is trying to point out when He says the following: "There will be weeping there and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves are thrown out. People will come from east and west and north and south and will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God." What's Jesus saying to the Jews of His day who will not believe in Him and receive the kind of salvation He wants to give them? He's saying, "My friends, if you don't repent and believe in Me now, one day you're going to be really disappointed. First of all, you will see your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, there in the kingdom of God because they trusted in Me, unlike you. You will also see many Gentiles, many non-Jews from east, west, north, and south sitting in the kingdom of God because when they heard My message, they repented and believed in Me, unlike you. Do you really want to be left out while you watch them in the kingdom of God?" Sadly, even after hearing that, many in Jesus' day would not repent and believe. In the same way, many people today will be shocked to find out that their trust in false gods or their trust in their own good works will not save them in the end. Whereas many who did repent and trust in Jesus alone will be saved. Now please understand, when Jesus speaks this way, He's not doing it because He hates these people. Jesus says this in the hope that the unbelieving Jews will repent and trust in Him for salvation and be saved. But sadly, despite Jesus' efforts, many hardened their hearts all the more. In fact, I want you to listen to what some Pharisees said to Jesus after hearing Him talk about how they would be left outside the kingdom if they didn't repent. They came up to Jesus and said, "Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." Now please understand, they were not concerned about Jesus' safety. They just wanted Jesus to leave. They were tired of listening to His preaching. They wanted Jesus to get out of their lives. And so they tried to scare Jesus away. "Jesus, you better leave. Herod wants to kill you." And He probably did. You know, the devil also tempts us to do the same thing. Many people today have essentially said to Jesus, "Leave this place and go somewhere else." Of course, Jesus has not left them, but sadly they have left Jesus. For example, they no longer attend church or think it's even worthwhile. They no longer hear or read God's word. They don't even want to hear what Jesus has to say. The devil also wants us to have the same attitude. But my friends, we must not listen to the devil. Instead, we need to continue to listen to Jesus, because He is our only hope of salvation. Now, after the Pharisees try to scare Jesus away, you need to realize that He was not one bit intimidated by their attempt to scare Him. Instead, listen to what He says. "Go tell that fox, I will drive out demons and heal people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will reach my goal. In any case, I must keep going today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem." And then Jesus lays bare His heart when He says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." Here Jesus clearly teaches that nothing, nothing is going to keep him from going to Jerusalem to fulfill his mission. And of course his mission is to die on the cross so that we can be forgiven, and then also for him to conquer death so that we can live forever in God's love. Now when Jesus says that no prophet can die outside Jerusalem, he's making a point. He's reminding them that throughout Old Testament history, many of God's prophets who were sent to Jerusalem to preach ended up being martyred there. In fact, he wants the Pharisees to remember that the Bible also teaches that the promised Messiah will die in Jerusalem. You see, Jesus is about to fulfill Holy Scripture. There's something else you also must understand. As we already heard in Jesus' words, God doesn't want anyone to end up in hell. That's why he sent his son into the world. Jesus stresses that he longs to gather the unbelievers of Jerusalem to himself in repentance and faith. But sadly, many were not willing. And tragically, the same is true today. God loves everybody. God wants all to be saved. But many today ignore and despise Jesus and his gospel. So my friends, if people do end up in hell, they have absolutely no one to blame but themselves. Finally, Jesus says to the unbelieving Jews, "Look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" What's Jesus saying here? First, when he tells them that their house is left to them desolate, he's trying to point out to them that even though they think that they're fine and dandy, they have been absolutely decimated by their own unbelief. By rejecting Jesus, they have lost everything. In addition, Jesus points out he's going to give them what they want, at least temporarily. Remember, the Pharisees want Jesus to leave their region? Well, that's what he's going to do. He's going to give them what they want. He's going to leave. But they will see him again. When? When they hear the crowd shouting, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." They will see Jesus again when he enters Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. You see, many of those Jews would be in Jerusalem because they were getting ready for the Passover. Those Jews who wanted Jesus to leave their region, he did. But they would see him again in Jerusalem. When the crowds shout, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." But you know what? Even though the crowds were excited about Jesus entering Jerusalem, most of them still did not get it. The people were shouting, "Hosanna! Hosanna!" Remember what that means? Save us! Save us! But they wanted the wrong kind of salvation. They wanted the wrong kind of Savior. Why does God proclaim this to us every year on Palm Sunday? Because he doesn't want you to make the same sinful mistake that the crowds did. He doesn't want you to think that God is a divine Santa Claus whose purpose is to give you your best life now. God wants you to realize what kind of salvation he wants to give you and the kind of Savior that Jesus is. That's why he's using me to preach the truth about his kingdom to you today. God wants you to receive the salvation he wants to give you, and he wants you to trust in the Savior he has sent for you, his one and only Son, who came into this world to save you from your greatest enemy, your own unbelief. And he did that by suffering the damnation you deserve and by conquering the death you deserve so that you can be forgiven and live now and forever as God's dearly loved child. At the beginning of the 10:30 service, the children of this congregation will walk into the congregation waving palm branches during the opening hymn, and they will be shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna, save us, save us." Thanks be to God, when we sing Hosanna, when we sing Save Us, we know the salvation that we need because God has made it plain to us. We know that when we sing Hosanna, when we sing Save Us, we know that we need salvation from sin and death and hell. And by the grace of God, we believe that Jesus, our King, has come into this world to give us that salvation by His suffering, death, and resurrection for us. After today, we enter Holy Week. We're going to follow Jesus to the Lord's Supper on Maundy Thursday, to His death on the cross on Good Friday, and then we will celebrate His resurrection on Easter Sunday. And all along the way, we shout, "O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you." Amen.